Lenin's forceful tactics brought rapid support for the Bolshevik Party. This was illustrated in Victor Serge's History of the Russian Revolution, in which he produces figures of voting for the Moscow Municipal Duma. In the 1915 elections, the Social Revolutionaries and Mensheviks obtained 70% of the votes. This fell to 18% in the 1917 voting, while the Bolsheviks polled more than 50% of the votes in that year and had 350 delegates out of the 710 elected. After Kornilov's march on Petrograd, which had been in September 25th to the 30th, 1917, Lenin's insistence on marching separately from the provisional government, even though they were both interested in Kornilov's defeat, resulted after his defeat in the formation of Red Guards by the arming of workers and setting up of the Military Revolutionary Committee, over which the President of the Soviet presided. This resulted in dual power. That is, a situation in which the government's attempt to order regiments which they considered contaminated with revolutionary ideas to the front line. These were to be countermanded by the Military Revolutionary Committee. The working class character of the Red Guard is noted by Victor Serge in the following, quote, "The statutes of the Red Guard required for admittance the recommendation of a socialist party, a factory committee of a trade union. Three unexcused absences were punished by expulsion. Infraction of disciplines were tried by a jury of comrades. The use of arms without authorization was a crime. Orders were obeyed without discussion. The officers were elected. In reality, however, they were often appointed by factory committees or other workers' organizations. If they did not already possess a military education, the officers were required to take special courses." The American socialist journalist Jack Reed, who was in Russia at these times, describes the scene at a Petrograd meeting on October the 22nd in his book 10 Days That Shook the World in the following lines. "The people around me appeared to be in ecstasy. They seemed to be about to burst forth spontaneously in a religious hymn. Trotsky read a resolution to the general effect that they were ready to fight for the workers and peasants to the last drop of their blood. Who was in favour of this resolution? The immense crowd raised their hands as a single man. Trotsky went on. The hands remained raised. Trotsky said, 'Let this vote be your oath. You swear to give all your strength, not to hesitate before any sacrifice to support the Soviets, which undertakes to win the revolution and give you land, bread, and peace.' Their hands remained raised. The crowd approved. They took the oath, and the same was repeated all over St. Petersburg, soon called to be called Leningrad. The last preparations were made everywhere. Everywhere they swore the last oath. Thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of men. It was insurrection." End of quote. Kerensky escaped from Petersburg, but his ministers were arrested at the Winter Palace on November the 7th. And that evening, the All-Russian Congress of Soviets met with the power of government in their hands. The Congress consisted of 562 delegates. 382 were Bolsheviks, 70 were social revolutionaries, 16 right-wing social revolutionaries, and 21 Mensheviks. The left social revolutionaries decided to support the Bolsheviks. The Bolshevik Kamenev took over the presidency of the Congress from the Menshevik Dan. When the question of the assumption of power by the Soviets came up for discussion, the Mensheviks and the right social revolutionaries withdrew from the Congress. Lenin addressed the Congress as follows. "In Russia, the immense majority of the peasant has said, 'Enough of this game with the capitalists. We shall march with the workers. A single degree abolishing the landowner's estate will win us the confidence of the peasantry. They will understand that their salvation is with the workers. We shall set up workers' control of industry. We are beginning to build the socialist society.'" The first Soviet government was set up by the Congress. It elected a new all-Russian Soviet executive commission of 102 members, 62 Bolsheviks, 20 left social revolutionaries amongst them. On a proposal by Trotsky, members of the government were called People's Commissars instead of ministers. The first councils of People's Commissars consisted solely of Bolsheviks. The left social revolutionaries wanted a government of every party in the Soviet, And Trotsky replied this way: "There is nothing for us but to leave the left social revolutionaries the task of persuading their neighbours to the right to come over to the revolution. We believe it is our duty to assume all responsibility in the name of the party, while they devote themselves to that hopeless enterprise." End of quote. After discussing peace proposals, the Congress dispersed November 10, 1917. Every hour brought encouraging messages from trade unions, the army and the local Soviets, but counter-revolutionary forces began to grow and menace the situation. Petrograd only had supplies for a few days. None of the government agencies functioned. Denunciatory telegrams poured from general headquarters, municipal dumas, provincial councils, and every former government body. They were labelled bandits, usurpers, traitors who were unleashing civil war and the like. The bourgeois press, which continued to publish, declared that order would soon be restored, that loyal regiments were marching from the front with Kerensky at their head, and that a new provisional government would be set up. The Central Telegraph Agency refused to send messages from the People's Commissars. Cadets seized the telephone exchange, but were quickly ousted. All other socialist parties were against the seizure of power. The Railway Workers' Union demanded from the Bolsheviks all troops to be placed under the command of the Municipal Duma. 2. The workers to be disarmed and Kerensky's troops admitted to the city. 3. All political prisoners to be released. 4. The Military Revolutionary Committee to be dissolved. The strength behind these demands receded after news of victory for the Soviets in Moscow, and they were rejected. The army under Kerensky was checked by the Red Guard and disbanded. For the first time, the situation was saved. But the Soviet government was to meet a new opposition of a severe nature from the Constituent Assembly, which had been convened to meet in January 1918. Elections to the Constituent Assembly were agreed to at the recent Soviet Congress. It was awaited with mystical faith by the social revolutionaries, for their popular, powerful support amongst the peasants, peasant millions, and radical bourgeoisie would undoubtedly secure for them a majority, which would certainly embarrass the Bolsheviks. Will there be any progress if the Assembly is composed of cadets, social revolutionaries, and Mensheviks, says Lenin? This mistake shall not cost us the revolution. The voting for the Assembly was as follows. Bourgeois parties, the cadets, 13%. Social revolutionaries, supported mainly by the peasants with Kerensky their leader, 58%. Mensheviks, 4%. Bolsheviks, 25%. The social revolutionaries and the Mensheviks combined to make their total strength 62%. In a pamphlet written by Lenin, Elections to the Constituent Assembly, he analysed this voting. The country, he wrote, being far away from events, had voted for their party, the Social Revolutionaries. The cities were for the Bolsheviks, that is, the vast majority of the workers. For the two capitals, Moscow and Leningrad, the voting was cadets, 515,000, Bolsheviks, 837,000. In the army and the navy, social revolutionary, 1,885,000. Cadets, 51,000. Bolsheviks, 1,791,000. Half the army for the Bolsheviks, overwhelmingly where regiments were close to events. Lenin went on to say, "Political power in the hands of the proletariat can and should become the means of bringing the non-proletarian toiling masses to its side, the means of wresting these masses away from the petty bourgeois and bourgeois parties. Our mistake is plain. We have seized power, and now we are put in a position of being forced to seize it again." A summary of Lenin's views on the Constituent Assembly is as follows. A. The Assembly provided the widest democracy possible under a bourgeois republic. B. Soviets provide a superior form of democracy, which led more rapidly to socialism. C. The majority of the people have not yet had time to settle vital questions by formal democratic methods. 4. Civil war in Finland and the South made it impossible to settle vital questions by the vote. E. To consider the Constituent Assembly as above the class struggle and the civil war was to adopt a bourgeois point of view. The voting elected 520 delegates to the assembly, 161 Bolsheviks, 267 social revolutionaries, 15 cadets, 41 Mensheviks and Ukrainian social revolutionaries. The Bolshevik president Sverdlov opened the assembly and urged the adaptation of a document drawn up by Lenin and adopted by the all-Russian executive, Soviet executive that is. The content of this document follows. Russia was to be a federation of Soviet republics. Secondly, an endorsement of the socialist revolution, nationalization of land, workers' control of production. Three, formation of Supreme Economic Council to ensure the power of the workers over the exploiters as the first step towards the complete expropriation of the means of production and transportation. Four, nationalization of the banks. Five, a universal obligation to work. Six, formation of Red Socialist Army and the complete disarming of exploiters. Democratic peace without indemnities or annexations. Seven, annulment of the debts to landowners, bourgeoisie and the Tsar as the first blow at international finance capital. 8. No exploiter of labour to hold official position. 9. The Constituent Assembly to be the general elaboration of the fundamental principles for the transformation to a socialist society. The majority rejected this document, and the social revolutionary Chernov was elected to the presidency. Proposals were then put forward by the social revolutionaries and the Mensheviks. These declared for a general peace, opposed to a separate peace for Russia, collaboration of Constituent Assembly with the Soviet. A leading Menshevik delegate spoke as follows. He is not a socialist who encourages the proletariat to strike for its ultimate goal before it has passed through the democratic stage, which enables it to become strong. You have taken over production. Have you succeeded in organising it? The land, which is supposed to belong to the peasants, will actually be taken by the rich peasants who have the equipment. Your peace negotiations risk the future of Russian democracy and socialism on the chance of a European revolution. What I say may be unpopular, I do not fear that. We shall guard the torch of the working class for the future. For a democratic republic, universal suffrage, expropriation of landowners, rehabilitation, control and regulation of industry by the state, 8-hour day and social insurance. The Bolsheviks and the left social revolutionaries withdrew from the assembly after the following declaration from Lenin. Not wishing to hide the crimes committed by the enemies of the people for one moment, we declare that we are withdrawing from the Constituent Assembly, trusting in the Soviet to decide what attitude we must adopt towards the counter-revolutionary majority. The following night, the Soviet executive issued a decree dissolving the Constituent Assembly. The decree read as follows. The toiling masses, having become convinced by their experience that bourgeois parliamentary democracy is outworn, that it is impossible with the construction of socialism, for national instruments cannot take the place of class instruments in breaking the resistance of the owning classes and laying the foundations for socialism. And Lenin added, while parliaments never give the slightest support to the revolutionary movement, the Soviets breathe fire into the revolution and cry to the masses, fight for yourselves, organize for yourselves.